Sweet wines are sweet, pretty obvious. But what separates a sweet wine from, say, medium sweet wines? One measure is that sweet wines should have at least 50 grams or a third of a cup of sugar per litre of wine. Another is that if the wine is all about the sugar, then it's a sweet wine. This is different to medium sweet wines that don't typically have enough sugar to enjoy with, say, dessert. Perhaps dessert wines should be a better name. With all that potential sugar in the wine, yeast would normally want to gobble it all up and convert it into alcohol. That's what yeast likes to do. So it's important to stop the alcoholic fermentation somehow, or by adding a sweetening component to it after the wine fermentation has stopped. If we were to stop the fermentation, there's a number of ways of doing this. One common method is to filter out the yeast. The remaining wine left, which is sweet, has no yeast to convert the sugar into alcohol, so it's fairly stable. In Bordeaux, sweet wines are made this way, such as Sauternes. Fortification is another way to make a stable sweet wine. Alcohol is a poisonous waste product for yeast, and yeast tends to die when it gets to about 15% alcohol. Adding alcohol to wine is called fortification, and is common in port, sherry, Rutherglen Muscats, and Vin de Naturel wines, such as Muscat de Bonne de Vinaise. If you're not sure, wines labelled in France, typically, vin de naturel, simply mean no added sugar has been added. If you're not adding alcohol, it's difficult to get wine that is both high in sugar and have acceptable alcohol levels. To achieve this, grapes or juice need to have their sugars concentrated. There are three main methods of doing this: drying the grapes out, freezing the grapes, or having the grapes attacked by mould. Drying grapes out is most common in Italy, where it is known as passito. Traditionally, the grapes were hung in a barn or on straw mats. And by drying the grapes out, you remove water from the grapes effectively. This leaves behind the concentrated sugar. Concentrating the sugar, though, you also concentrate the acidity and the flavours. So sweet wines made by removing water creates more concentrated wines in all aspects. Drying out grapes does mean that the grapes are exposed to significant amounts of oxygen. So the colour will often start to turn brown a wee bit, maybe, and some of the fruit flavours tend to fade, and you can often get these real dried, raisiny type flavours in the wine. Eiswein, or Eiswein if you're German, is another way of concentrating the flavours of frozen grapes. Grown commonly in Canada, Germany and Austria, the grapes are left on the vine until they're frozen solid. Then the grapes are brought into the wine, you're crushed, and the ice crystals float to the top and are easily separated. Again, you're removing frozen water, which increases the concentration of sugar, acidity, and flavours. And of all the ways of concentrating sugars in a wine, ice wine gives the most pure varietal flavours of the wine. You can imagine drying grapes out tends to lose a bit of that fruit flavour as the grapes are exposed to oxygen. And the last method, botrytis, adds flavours. So the last method, as I said, is botrytis. It's a mould that grows on the grapes and helps concentrate the sugars by sinking its roots into the grapes. And where it pierces the skin, water tends to evaporate. Again, by removing water, effectively, it concentrates the sugars, acidity and flavours. The flavours of the final wine are somewhat changed also by the botrytis mould, as I said. Often the wines can have a rye bread smell and taste, and some people describe the taste as marmalade, orange marmalade, dried apricots, sweet biscuit, cabbage, pineapple, and mould. For me, rye bread is the closest, I think, but I've really struggled over the years, and it's only been in the last couple of years that I've actually managed to reasonably accurately spot botrytis on a wine. So for those of you who can spot it easily, good on you. For some reason, I really had trouble spotting the botrytis flavours. I think I'm starting to get it now that I've got rye bread in my head. Botrytis wines are often referred to as noble rot, and the methods used to make Sauternes, Tokaj, and many of the top German sweet wines, including Baronhausleser and Trockenbaronhausleser. One of the easiest ways to make a sweet wine is the late harvest method. Here, all you do is sit around and let the grapes ripen. As the grapes continue to ripen, the sugar levels rise. But you do need to be careful, though, because as sugar levels rise as grapes ripen, the acidity levels also decrease. And you do need a lot of acidity with wine, so unless they're adjusting the acidity afterwards, it can be a problem. Late harvest wines are common in many parts of the world, and in Germany they're known as Spätlese. But be careful, Spätlese wines can be either dry or sweet. Do not always get enough sugars to make a proper sweet wine. It might be more of a medium sweet wine from time to time. In Germany, a notch above Spätlese is Auslese wines, which have more potential sugar than Spätlese. And again, these wines can be dry or sweet, so do be careful. And sometimes they may even have a little bit of botrytis in them, but not necessarily. The Germans do like their sweet wines, and perhaps the easiest and certainly the cheapest way of making sweet wines in Germany is called Süß Reserve. Here, you make a dry wine and then add sweet unfermented grape juice to the wine. A quick filter to remove any remaining yeast, and there you have it, a super cheap sweet wine.